Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It's I, Rob the Wine Guy, and I am joined tonight by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. It's good to be here. Rob, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Well, I'm doing okay. You were just meeting my young son, Luke.
Young Luke. And I had to say it, because Rob was too afraid to say it, so the first time I met him, I had to say, Luke, Rob is your father.
Yes, no one had ever thought of that.
I know.
So cliche.
But I said it.
One of Becky's relatives made that joke. He goes, nobody ever thought of that, huh? Right. He really thought it was an original joke.
No.
Yes, he did.
See, at least I know it's not original.
Well, I know. That's true. I mean, well, everything that you say is not original. But
hey.
Still. Nevertheless, sorry. No, I'm not. On tonight's show, and I really wish the superstar was here tonight. And folks, I'm sorry. The superstar is not here tonight
because.
I don't know.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Do we ever know where he's at?
I don't know. I saw a Facebook picture of someone. He had like a woman's cowboy hat on him, and it was a woman's cowboy hat. And I think he looked like he was on a boat, and they called him the captain. It's on Facebook. I don't know. I don't think he's on the boat today. It looked like the same boat that they had filmed the movie Anaconda on. So maybe Steve's down there searching for a big snake. I don't know.
Well, wearing a lady's cowboy
if that's
hat
a lady's cowboy
in
hat.
Search of a big snake.
Oh, yeah. That's
one of our bars he's hanging out in.
Those two all match together. It all's
one
starting to make sense now. Yes.
It doesn't belong here, or does it?
It does, I think. So, right on cowboy. And on that note, folks, the wine we're drinking tonight. Let me just say this. We're drinking this wine because I want to talk about wines that are like this, even though this wine is not like those wines. Because this is a Trader Joe version of those wines. And Trader Joe is the perineum of hell. That's what they are, the perineum of hell. And this is no one's
Could
ever...
Could you be more obscure?
The taint of hell. How's that sound? Hell's taint. Hell's taint.
Good
perineum
God,
taint.
Son.
It's the area between... Never mind. This is La Camette, Le Authentique Red Table Wine. From France. Yes, you heard that right, folks. Le Authentique.
L'Authentique.
No, La Authentique. Figure out what that means.
No, it's L'Authentique. The L.
Oh, is it?
There's just the L. So it's L'Authentique.
Okay, well, they're trying to say that this is an authentic red table wine.
The authentic.
From France. There are no markings on it as to know where it's from, but there's a little bit of clever way to find out on a French table wine where it's from. They put the postal code right down there and the city. That's how you determine where it's from. That city sits right in the heart of Languedoc.
Very nice.
So, yes.
I'm curious, what year is this? What vintage is this?
It's non-vintage. They don't put a vintage on these things. These are, you get a wheelbarrow and you go out and get yourself some grapes. Didn't really matter what kind of grapes or where they're from or even if it's a grape. You know, you put some crab apples in there.
When you pick up things that are smashed to the ground.
Maybe a goat's head. It doesn't matter. And then you put all that shit in the press. Maybe a rat falls in there. You squirt it out.
Do you do it while wearing a lady's cowboy hat?
You might. You might.
Perhaps.
You might do that, yeah. And so then you put it in a jug, and then you drink it. And you go, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Now, most generally, French table wines are not brought over to the United States. They're left in Europe. But when we come back, we're going to have some more information about this. And Scott's quizzically smelling it because I can tell you right now, this is not made from French table wine grapes because it's from Trader Joe's. So we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the... Let's see, what is it again? La Comette, L'Authentique. Is that right? red table wine from France. Now, in France, just like in the United States or any place else, they have different classifications of wine. Okay? Now, I've referred to the table wine. That's their lowest grade. They call it Vin de France. Okay? And that's the lowest. It's non-geographic. They can't put Languedoc on there, but they can put the postal code, which is helpful. Not typically imported in the United States. It's a little bit curious as to why they have this. Okay? The next is Vin de Paz. It's also known as country wine. Country wine, think of the French wine that has Chardonnay on there, or Merlot on the label. Specific wines listed. That is country wine. It's a lower grade from the top level that is area specific. Now, they might say Bordeaux or Merlot from wherever.
But Vin de Pie, P-U-Y-S.
P-A-Y-S.
Oh, P-A-Y-S.
Yes.
Typically, that's a little more rustic style wine.
Well, no, it's just lower grade. So you can be specific as to the varietal, but you can't really be specific to say it's from Saint-Emilion.
Right.
Or Morgon, or something like that. You can't do that. But beyond that, then, we have Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée, AOC. And that's the top level. There used to be one in between those, the Vin de Paz and then this, but that was eliminated. And that, the AOC is everything else that's high quality. Your Saint-Emilion, your Pomerol, everything. Chablis, down the line. Even like the Cru Bourgeois on up. I mean, all right. That stuff. Even like the Grand Vin, the Bordeaux, just the Bordeaux Superiors. Those things are even AOC.
They're all AOC.
Yes. So anything that isn't AOC, you can imagine what that is. Because we've had some boo-boos.
We have.
That are AOC. And so this is below the one that's below the one. This is like I said, you take a squeegee and you scrape off the road.
It's like a yard tool that you just dig under the road to get what's
you might.
Under the road. It's the, to use a disgusting American phrase, it's bottom of the barrel, so to speak.
That's assuming they use a barrel. You know.
We are so gauche.
I think they have
but then they make this.
This is gauche.
Although
in France, say, for instance, you might have a small farm where they just, you know, it's house wine. They make a family wine. That would be a table wine because it's not subject to any kind of regulation or review. So, like, even the Vin de Paz, they have to be, they're tested and regulated by boards to make sure they're meeting certain specifics and that the varietal character that they're showing is correct, blah, 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 blah. Where this, there's nothing. Just in, there you go.
But they don't treat it like it's something that it isn't.
No. No, they don't.
It's just a table wine.
No, there is no grand table wine at all. None. Period. And that's why you don't see it a lot. Now, that's why you don't see it imported. Its quality is spotty. Its consistency is spotty. And, you know, how much? I mean, this was $6.49, folks. I think some parts of the country, it's $5.
Right.
But you import it. You bring it over, you market it. There's not much profit to be made off a wine like this. There just isn't.
I don't know, but if it's a red table wine, completely unregulated per se, the bottom of the barrel, they might have less than $1 in this.
Yeah,
now, but shipping and all the above, but at the end of the day, if you're bringing over large quantities of French wine, what's another 100 cases?
Well, yeah. Now, the thing is, I think the next question is, what varietals are in this?
Well, wine guy, what varietals are in this?
I hate it when you do that. Well, given the fact it's in Languedoc, what are grapes of Languedoc? Probably. It could have some Mourvèdre.
Right.
It could have some Grenache. It could have some Cabernet. Maybe some Merlot. Or maybe even some Syrah. Maybe.
What about our friend Mr. Frank?
Cab Franc?
What do you think?
I mean, it could be
could be
amalgamation. I'm going to assume there's more Grenache in there.
Right.
Just the big gut of it. Or Purple Death. One of the two.
Oof.
So let's get into this. First of all,
Death.
This is a lot darker in the glass than what I would anticipate a wine of this ilk to be. Don't you think?
Wine guy, what would cause that?
Would purple death cause
that? A possible additive of some unknown origin would cause that.
Damn it, son.
Yeah. Which would be shocking because they wouldn't make that over there.
It doesn't have that telltale grapiness that we get sometimes with the Purple Death products.
And no, and you would expect this to be lean, somewhat insipid, maybe a little bit weedy and green, but, you know, kind of rustic in a certain sense. Fun, though, if you like those sorts of things, which I do.
There's not much to the nose.
It's slightly grapey. I do smell a little bit of a sweet blackberry and menthol.
The menthol.
But it's a grapey blackberry.
Subdued. All very soft and subtle.
I wouldn't call it subtle. Just didn't have much.
It's just not much there. The grapiness of it is subtle. The menthol I get.
Well, yeah. It's not a grape smell, but it is a jammy-ish quality that we associate with grapiness, but it's a blackberry that's there. I feel like I should have a spittoon prepared for this, but you have to drink it. There we go. I'm ready to go, folks. I have my spittoon because I have a feeling I'm going to be like when you have a stomach flu, you got to have the trash can right next to the bed in case you may make it. Oh, man, it's a long ways away. So I'm ready.
Lay down on the bathroom floor.
Want to go first?
It does have nice legs.
I'm afraid. I don't care. 12.5% alcohol. Who gives a fuck about the legs? I'll do it.
Jeez. Why am I always a guinea pig? Well, it's off air. Triple B took a little sip of this. And,
what the fuck is that?
Said it was sweet.
It's not that sweet.
It's sweet fruit.
It tastes like a wet dog, man. I mean, maybe I have a dirty glass, but I don't think so.
No.
There's a yeastiness to it. And for some reason, I'm still squinting. Jesus. Whew. That's smooth. It's not smooth at all. It's rustic.
It's not Purple Death. I'll give
it's not
that.
Purple Death. I wish.
It's not Purple Death.
It was.
I can't say that I do. This decanted for an hour or so.
All right. Center yourself.
French. You know it's French. There's a little minerality sitting there.
Starts to blow off a little bit. If you center yourself on the wine, I don't even know what that means. I just know that I'm saying it.
Rob, center yourself on the wine.
Exactly. I think it's Grenache. It has a nice mineral streak.
It does. It really does have a nice mineral streak.
It's just acidic. Really acidic.
And there's a... You said yeasty. There's this weird break at the transition to the back palate where there's just this bitterness that pops in.
It's
almost
acidity.
Like a... But it's a... I've never had acidity expressed that way. It reminds me of...
But you've never experienced this wine, have you? You're lost for words?
I'm trying to remember the seeds. There's this...
Habanero?
They've had a bitter seed.
No. I don't even know what that means.
Grape seed. Have you ever eaten a grape seed or chewed into grape seed? There's a certain bitterness to it. I'm not saying that's this bitterness, but it's like that. It's just a weird little pop-up of your bitter acidity.
All right. After the wet dog first experience, this is the key to this wine. Have water when you're drinking it because you don't want your throat to get irritated from the acidity, and it's too acidic.
It is too acidic.
Get the Chateau Souverain effect.
Ooh.
This is rustic. It's not sweet. I'm not sure what Triple B was drinking. I could put this away. I don't need that.
He's throwing away the spit.
I'm not going to drink that much of it, but still.
Listener alert. Rob has put away the 16-ounce beer pint glass.
Spit bucket.
Mm-hmm. He has put it away and decided it's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news alert. You know it's French.
Why? Because you're looking at the label?
The minerality.
Well, yeah. I mean, no one in America would make something that tastes like this.
For sure.
It'd have to be the French. It's like, why would someone build a Peugeot or a Citroen? They're bad. Well, the French would.
They have.
Yeah, I've driven Citroens. Not a Peugeot, but I've driven Citroens.
Wow.
They're not very good. Look like a washing machine. It's terrible.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
But you remember, Peugeot used to market their cars here.
I know the UCS used to. Sterling. Remember Sterling?
British Sterling?
Yeah. You probably had a Model T. That was probably your first car, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was like, what, 6 or 7 years old then?
Well, that's when we put away the pedals.
Did they have certified used back in those days?
They did not.
Okay, I'm just asking.
It was buyer beware.
I should have my own little guy in the back with a little rim shot.
Oh, rim shot.
Because I know that wasn't a great joke. I just made it anyway.
Sounds like one of my jokes.
That's right. I'm just trying to make you feel better.
Oh, check out who's playing on the radio.
It's Vanilla Ice, folks.
Baby.
Mm. You know what I wish this wine had? I wish it was just on a little bit of oak. Because.
It's a great call.
It would soften the acidity. It would also maybe give it just a kiss of vanilla. And a kiss of vanilla would smooth this wine out and balance it out.
I think 100% it would.
Still wouldn't be very good, but it would be balanced
out. Deal with the acidity of this wine. That's just over the top.
And they don't have money to put on the oak.
You know what, though? Maybe it's the numbness from the acidity, but the acidity's not bothering me as much as it did. I'm numb. My throat's numb.
The parasites have gone up into your nervous system.
Comfortably numb.
Yeah. This by no means is a good wine. but it's by no means the worst wine we've ever had. If you have this wine, if you purchase this wine, I'm kind of questioning. I bought this wine because we have a podcast. And I sometimes buy stupid wines to have on the podcast.
So we can say funny things.
Yes, but you, consumer, that bought this, I do question why you would buy this, because you won't like this. I've not met any person that would like this. You know what this tastes like, honestly, with the acidity and the balance issues? It tastes like something that Fry Brothers make.
Thank you for the compliment.
And it's not a compliment, because they charge one-third what you charge.
Oof.
You know,
damn it.
At least they don't take a lot of your money to sell you poor wine, but this is cheap. This is definitely better than any of the Trader Joe's label shit things.
$3, Chuck.
Oh, it's better than Charles Shaw. Jesus. Twice as expensive, though, so people might balk at that.
I've come to a conclusion in drinking this wine. And you're right. It's not good. It's not bad, either. It's not a bad wine.
I know. It's just
okay. Your point being that most folks aren't going to like this
because
they don't appreciate the French. But you know what I've just decided? I really like minerality, because I think I can stand this wine simply because of the nice minerality. It's the backbone of this.
I don't think you could drink too much of it because of the acidity. It is too acidic. It's out of balance to the point where it's a flaw. And that's not something that time's going to cure, because the fruit will be dead and it'd be freaking vinegar in 8 months. So that's not going to work in that regard.
And it's a hint when you see a non-vintage.
Oh, yeah.
That it's a drink now.
Maybe this was from 1918. I don't know. It did get an 81.8 on Cellar Tracker. So they got that going for them.
It's got that going for them.
That's the lowest I've seen as a collective score, mind you, but still.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
Boobs did not care for it.
Boobs didn't care
for it. No, he's like, no, I don't like that. And the dude that thought Cinema Blend was a good Italian wine, he loved it. He's like, boy, I don't get Australian wines very often, but I love this wine. What a dumb chode. Boy, but that guy has a lot of tanning cream in his closet. I just, you know. Yeah. He's just the guy, and he goes to Mamma Mia in the front row and sings along. It's that dude.
That's you.
No, I was in the second row watching the guys at the front row, and then we left. So, by the way, that new one got really good reviews on Rotten Tomato. Did you see that?
Go figure.
I was like, really? Because I'd rather be run over than see that.
Oh, just embrace your inner
what?
Swedish rock star.
I don't like, no. It makes me mad at Pierce Brosnan that he would be in that. I'm mad at him.
He's the one who left the Bond.
He got old.
He left before that. He said he didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, if I was in Die Another Day, I wouldn't want to do it anymore. Jesus, that was a terrible movie.
He was a good Bond, though.
Yeah, but he was in bad movies.
Well,
I mean, Goldeneye is dull, but Tomorrow Never Dies is not very good.
I thought that was good. I like that.
Okay. The movie itself isn't bad. It's the villain. He's horrible. He's a joke.
One of the worst villains.
Terry Hatcher. Cardboard boxes have more charisma than she does.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. She's terrible. She's a terrible actress. She is... Her best part was in Tango and Cash.
And what was the Sunday night ABC series she was in for forever?
Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives.
I'm sorry, I didn't watch that.
Sorry. She was...
I watched Tango and Cash, and I watched...
I forgot Terry Hatcher was in Tango and Cash.
Kind of. That was real. She's a really horrible actress. When you watch her deliver her lines in that movie, you're like, oh.
Was she a significant other of...
She was Ray Tango. That's Sylvester Stallone. I'm sorry that I know this much, folks.
His sister. His sister.
Younger sister.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm not going to admit that I know the other character's name.
Go ahead.
Gabriel Nash, yeah.
Gabriel Nash.
Gabe, though, yeah. That movie was so bizarre because they had, like, the... Do you know Tango and Cash?
I've seen it.
Yeah. They have, like, the weapons expert guy that they act like... But he doesn't really have any part to play in the movie. It's kind of weird. The whole movie is weird. It's acting like they thought there were going to be 18 sequels.
Yes.
But there wasn't. The charisma is good between Stallone and Russell. I mean, that's great. They're great. They are fantastic.
And that was just after...
That was a while ago. It was
80s.
Was it late 80s? Yeah. Well, maybe very early 90s, late 80s. I'm not sure. Somewhere in that realm. Because Jack Palance was in it. An indecipherable Jack Palance. But Jack Palance... Who played with rats. He did that. I remember that. It's unique. And then they had the big dumb truck. And there was like the monster trucks that were jumping over shit. And they cut into Stallone going, oh shit! Just randomly. Yes. For no apparent reason.
1989.
Wow. Yeah.
89. And the movie I was curious if it was right after Escape from New York. And no, it was right after Big Trouble in Little China.
See, my dad, when I was fairly young, but my dad liked that movie, so it was one of the first movies I got to watch that my dad watched with me.
Really?
Yeah, so that's one reason why. That's the main reason.
That's not the main reason.
I've liked
it.
I still do, I like
that's
it.
That's your genre movie, man.
The 80s, 90s kind of cheesy action movies, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Lethal Weapons.
Yeah. You like those cheesy action movies today.
Well, that's Marvel now.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's plucky. By the way, I've been watching Infinity War. Well, yeah, I bought it on DVD, but you get the digital download. TheMoviePass.com.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so you can just load all your movies on there. It has the codes. When you watch it just on the small screen and you can, like, catch everything and see everything... It works better, and you can follow it 1,000 times easier. It's weird. Hmm. It actually, the whole movie, from start to finish, has this tension.
Which movie are you talking about now?
Infinity Wars.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you still wouldn't be able to follow it because you'd never watch any of the fucking movies, but it's a lot easier because think about all those things going on the screen. But when the screen is this big or whatever, you can actually... track it better and follow the flow. You're not, your eyes aren't doing all this shit all the time.
Yeah.
And you miss parts. You just do. It's weird. It's much better, I think, that way, in that format.
It also had to help you that you'd seen it before.
Oh, twice, yeah.
Five times you saw it at the theater?
Twice.
Just
twice.
Twice that you'll admit to.
Now, Becky has watched a third of it thus far. She really likes it. But she keeps falling asleep. So.
Yeah, that she must really like that.
No, she says she does.
That she's fallen asleep twice.
But she has this little thing called a baby, and she has to get up all night. So, that makes you tired. I've been told. I'd sympathize with her, but I can't. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks.
You know what I hate?
What?
People stuck flyers under your car windshield wipers.
That's a really good segue, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. I think. Don't you hate that, Rob?
Well, I do, but I can mock them. So went to church with Triple B and the family this morning. And
say that again.
Went to church with Triple
church?
B. Church.
You went to church.
Yes. Maybe you should go.
Get Jesus I in should it. Go to church.
Yeah, I think you should. You freaking pagan.
Pagan.
You probably are sacrificing goats behind your house, knowing you.
I don't care for goats.
Such a
the cat's sacrificing animals. You got a squirrel yesterday.
Oh, God. And then you probably made a little suit for the cat to wear. A no. squirrel suit for the cat. You probably did
I
that.
Did go out and buy him some Under Armour Hunter Series stuff.
I bet you did. I bet you dressed the cat up like that. You know, so some dude, when everyone's in church, they're already in church, right? Some dude thought he and would write a letter, and this is a 2-page letter, front and back. Well, 1-page front and back. Single space. Letter about, I really can't tell what it is. I think it's about how he thinks that TV is bad for your soul. And he starts off, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick on the parts that make him look dumb or weird. Dear fellow believer. I don't know. He might have spelled believer wrong. Let's just do it. He's talking about, he thinks, oh, here we go. I'll just give you some highlights here. He's talking about some sort of Bible passage. The Bible's a book, Scott, that has things
it's
in
a
it.
Book?
Yeah. It has stuff
pictures?
In it.
Pictures?
The kids' versions. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, there's a guy in there called Jesus. You might like him. So someone says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work. Well, semicolon. I don't remember semicolons being in the Bible. But I hate the work of them that turn aside, semicolon. It shall not cleave unto me. And he says, it sounds like David understood that if you watched wickedness, it would stick in. Or cleave to his mind.
It's Psalm.
Yes, Psalm. Yes, but and apparently David
got
said
the
that.
Quote wrong. It's who follow a.
Well, actually, read the real quote.
Well, there's a couple. There's a couple different versions that I see.
Yes.
Bible Hub has it as "them that turn aside shall not cleave to me." But
yes, that would have a different meaning, wouldn't it? Those who turn away from me shall not. Latch on to me or and shall
yeah,
not and that's not what he actually interpreted it completely incorrectly.
Yes.
So that was a complete incorrect. First of all, he lied about what the passage was.
Well, there are different versions of the Bible.
Yes, but
go sort that out.
Well, because different people wrote the Bible. I'm sorry, God wrote the Bible. Never mind. God wrote the Bible. Sure he did. And then he also had an abridged version. God painted the illustrations in the kids' version, too. So he goes, so will watching sports, the Nature Channel, well, probably this guy, and the news corrupt our souls?
What?
And now we go to this fun part.
The Nature Channel?
The Nature Channel. He likes to watch animals fuck. So he goes, well, it depends on how the women or cheerleaders are dressed. Yes. Is there anything sinful about watching sports? I don't think so, but at some point...
Repeat that passage about the women.
Because, well, it depends on how the women or cheerleaders are dressed.
There's a... That's a misogynistic SOB.
Yeah. So, watch the games between the services or record them and watch them later? What kind of witness is that? Say,
what? You can't watch football? You can't record football games.
Oh, yes. Let's see, what else is he talking about?
You should read this whole letter.
Ah, that's a long letter, man.
Would you like me to read it for you? I know you struggle with
it. Here, why don't you read this, the second paragraph there? People like that. There's just so much. And I also don't actually want to give this guy what he wants.
Stay pure and strong. Remember, represent him well. CEO.
CEO?
Remember, represent him well. And then it's initialed CEO by Brother Dirt.
Yeah.
So what about the majority of television programming? Safe or not? Triple question marks. I hate redundant.
Well, Steve Bodie's blog is not safe.
Not from us. Not from ridicule.
That's true. This dickwad isn't.
Even if the show doesn't have any obvious sin like profanity, nudity, or suggestive behavior, the thought patterns are often far from biblically recommended stuff. Philippians 4:8. Sometimes it only silly, worthless vanity that steals our time away. Personally, I don't have a TV, and TV is capital T, lowercase v, anymore, and my mind is more relaxed. I'll give him that.
He has time to write letters and put them underneath a windshield wiper.
Stay away from television, your mind is more relaxed. Stay away from social media, stay away from your cell phone, your mind would tend to be more relaxed. I'll give him that.
And then you can write things like this, folks.
The Bible says Lot was vexed.
He was vexed?
Daily by the seeing and hearing of the society around him.
That vexes me.
There's plenty of filth going on in the society around us.
Really?
Why would we want to bring that mess into our homes for our families to feed on?
You know, perhaps this gentleman
is trying to be profound.
Well, it doesn't work. Perhaps this gentleman's never seen late night Cinemax because there's nothing scandalous on that.
No.
Just simulated sex. Question. Is he weak-minded in the fact that he sees a cheerleader and all of a sudden he wants to, you know, go Harvey on her? He's a weak man.
But there's also just that misogynistic tone of just that single sentence.
See, you never can catch these douchebags doing this stuff because you then could kick the shit out of them for doing it. To teach them a lesson. But you never can catch them. Ever. It's frustrating. By the way, this gentleman's name was Brother Dirt.
Thought patterns are often far from biblically recommended stuff. Philippians 4:8 reads, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I don't think that sport is inherently right or wrong or indifferent. Certainly, whatever sport you enjoy, when it's played at the highest level, there's a certain purity about it or loveliness about it.
Not unless it's a Steelers or Pirates or one of their games, because they suck.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of praiseworthy.
What his thought? Well, this brings me back. What would his thoughts be about the wine vault? Do we tempt people with drink and merriment?
And profanity.
What about, we don't have any, well, Steve, we would be promoting sex.
I guess we're on the list.
He's probably listening to Steve. He's like, He's ripping his shirt. Oh my gosh, where's my Bianco? Wait a minute. It's fucking Mike Pence wrote this sumbitch, isn't it? This is Mike Pence. He's out there.
Mike Pence wrote this.
With his white hair and, you know, his Wrangler jeans sticking under my damn windshield. Fuck you, Pence. That's what it was Pence. He wrote that. Who else would write that? And you know what? I bet he was drinking Bianco while he did it.
Oh, son.
He's like, he saw my Camry SE, which is the sport edition, and he goes, oh my God. Think of the man that drives that, unbuttons his shirt, chest hair, like Magnum P. Where's my Bianco? I mean, that's what it is. It's Mike Pence. Interesting.
I just don't have time for people like this. It's Christianity that I know. It's based on love and respect and forgiveness.
He's not saying he didn't forgive anybody. He's just saying,
don't be of the world. He's saying it's not forgivable.
He says he can't look at cheerleaders or women because of the way they're dressed. That's what he's saying.
That's only after
they're provocative. Bianco. It's too much for him.
The Bianco saves him.
He just gets so turned on, and you know, you hear the music in the background. You know, and he's just like, turn off the lights. He's just
turn
like,
off.
I see these women and I hear the music. And I just start thinking about them in their cheerleader uniforms.
Do as you please.
And then Aaron Rodgers drops back. And I see those tight pants. And he throws the football. And the muscular man catches it. And he runs. And he runs. And he runs, and he runs, and he runs.
Until the man...
What was I thinking about?
With the tight pants and the balding cup catches him.
Cup.
And clips his heels.
Then I think, could I drink from that cup?
Bianca. For the unusual sinner man on Sundays.
Sinner man.
Oh. I may be Brother Bart. And I don't drink much, but when I do, I drink from Aaron Rodgers' cup, Bianco, Sundays.
Don't watch cheerleaders. They'll get you turned on. Wonder if he knows what a penis is and how it gets hard. Probably doesn't. Anyway, we'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. I don't know if you'll ever hear what we just did. Hopefully not. But if I actually leave it in, Scott made a very good point. The gentleman, we were making fun of a gentleman that left just to recap, he left a letter on my windshield and everybody's windshield when everyone was in a church service. Scott made up the point, and this guy was very religious in that and very misogynistic and sexist and probably closeted homosexual. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, he drinks Bianco.
Yeah, it probably was.
From Aaron Rodgers' cup.
Well, he's talking about you can't look at men, I mean, or women, or anybody, I mean, really. So, but the point was made by Scott, and correctly so. Where was he? It was Sunday morning. Why wasn't he in fucking church to begin with?
Church?
Well, you know, it's Brother Dirt. Did. It's Brother Dirt, man.
Brother Dirt.
Brother Dirt. What a dumb douche. Anyway, Brother Dirt, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
That's right. Probably Steve Bodie's ass. You know that. He's a Bianco drinker. Anyway.
I don't think so. I don't think Brother Bodie drinks the Bianco.
Brother Bodie. That's what he is now?
He likes the Grifone Primitivo.
He is, because he's like, when I wear a hat, I wear a hat.
When I drink Pinot, I drink McManus.
Oh, my God.
It's so undervalued.
I'm so manly. I rip my shirts open all the time, just for no reason, even when I'm by myself.
It's because he listens to the Wine Vault, and he knows
Steve Bowdy.
Brother Gibson.
Brother Gibson. He's ripped the sleeves off his shirt, which we have decorating the Wall of Fame. So,
does
Scott.
That make us creepy?
There's a lot of reasons why we might be, or at least you. So, the La Comet, La Authentique.
Comet.
Whatever.
L'Authentique.
This fucking stuff we just were drinking.
Not good. Not bad, though. It's just okay. It's very meh, but it does have something to offer. You know, it's minerality. Again,
I just wish it wasn't as acidic as it was.
I think you nailed it. If this was oaked, it would be a much better wine, but I'm guessing they don't oak Red Table wine whatsoever.
Or malolactic fermentation would also help, too.
Just
a little bit of that.
Yeah.
But it's your processes.
You know, for once in my life, I agree with Cellar Tracker. 81.4.
You can't put 0.4 in. It was 81.8.
I agree with Cellar Tracker.
I'm going to give you an 81.
81.
81 of your points.
81 of my points. Would I buy it again? No. Is it recommended? No. But I think there is something there to learn from it. There's a stark minerality that, for our listeners who don't know what that is, get this. Try it. It's fine. It's not quite fine. It's just okay. But it's highly acidic, so there's a major flaw in it.
I'm stuck between two numbers. But, folks, when you're stuck between two numbers, go with a lower. So I'm at 79.
Okay.
79 to 80. Not strong score. Same damn score I gave the cinema, I think. Good job, Coppola. If it wasn't acidic and it had a little bit of oak with a little bit of vanilla streak that rounded it out and smoothed it out, 84, 85, even 86. There's something there, but unfortunately, it can't be done that way. So that's okay.
It's majorly flawed wine.
It's a flawed wine. It's not an absolute failure. It's drinkable, but to the point where the problem with me is the acidity is going to bother me after a while.
Yeah, for sure.
And not make me feel right. And I just won't like drinking it.
We like to get a physical response from wine, not burning of our throat.
And then vomit.
Then maybe we're being a little hard. It's a $6 bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's winking owl price. It's.
You know, here's a question. I think Brother Dirt, when he goes around and puts those letters on, he's wearing like a Confederate officer's hat.
Or
a replica. You know, like the old gray, you know, cavalry hat.
Cavalry hat.
Possibly. Maybe even wearing the sword. Maybe he's in the full regalia. How often do you get to use the word regalia?
You don't.
I just did.
You did.
He's very vigorous, though, putting up those signs.
Oh, my Lord.
He's very vigorous.
Vigorously drinks his Bianco.
He vigorously thinks about women that are cheerleaders. Yes. He vigorously murders co-eds in his spare time.
Jesus.
Yes. Why have a pseudonym, by the way, Brother Dirt? Tell us who you are.
Yeah. Tell us who you are.
Why are you ashamed? Why do you have to have a pseudonym, Brother Dirt?
Well.
And by the way, the
licensed taxi driver was already taken.
The letter was typed, yet he wrote poorly, in child's handwriting, his name.
And his signature, he added CEO below it.
He's a CEO, yeah. Stay pure and strong. Remember, represent him well.
And look to the right of well. That's where it says CEO.
I think that's dot, 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 you dumbass.
No, those are formed letters.
No, those are...
Oh, my Lord. Those are formed letters that say CEO.
What's that mean? That's by Brother Dirt. Folks, regardless, a 79 and an 81. And I want to leave you on this parting thought, Scott. Okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever so a man swoleth, that shall he also reap. For that swoleth to the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that swoleth to the spirit shall reap life everlasting. I think, of what else can you say?
If
If you read CEO in the Urban Dictionary, yes. Assholes.
So with that, folks, with Galatians 6, 7, and 8, we will bid you adieu and see you next time with hopefully a better wine here on the Wine Vault. Good night.